السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الجزاء وبعد. Welcome everyone to our third session here at WISE, going through the absolute essentials of Islam. Let me share the document with you. I hope by the fadl and the karam of Allah Azza wa Jal, you are all well and safe. If I can find the document, there we are. Everyone, I hope, should be able to see this document. We're in our third session on absolute essentials of Islam. What I have done is session one and two, the handouts for them. I've just posted it in the chat. So hopefully if anyone comes in and misses it, admin can kindly share that with anyone or reshare it for anyone who comes in, because they wouldn't see it if they've logged in after I've sent it. So we were looking at last week belief in the books, and I covered that, and then I said I'll cover belief in the messengers today because some details. And so what I wanted to do, because I mentioned this in the last session, was I want to allow this time for you all, if you have any questions or comments regarding the text or anything we've covered so far, to have this time, this segment, for a discussion, and that way we make it interactive and it's not really just a one-way traffic of information. There's much to be learned from this side, just as much, but if not more, than from my side to your side. So it's a two-way learning journey, and that's how I always look at my sessions. So I'll let some people take some reflection on it, and then feel free to jump in and mention whatever you'd like to mention. Let me also see if the other document can share. Yeah, I think that shares as well. Okay. I think everyone can see that as well. Yeah. Okay. I mean, while people are gathering their thoughts, we can get on to reading the text. I'm happy to read, unless there's anyone who would like to volunteer to read. That would be great. But I don't want to put anyone in a awkward position if they don't want to read. Otherwise, I can read. All right, no takers. This session, inshallah, as we progress, maybe our confidence and our interest and desire to read may increase. So, on the section of belief in the messengers, so we're continuing our theology or creedal segment of the book Absolute Essentials. Then it's going to go through As-Salah and Tahara. So, belief in the messengers. The author of the book mentions the following: the belief in the messengers. This is to believe in the prophets and messengers of Allah, the first of whom is Adam, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, and the last, our messenger, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa azwajihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And may Allah bless him and give him peace. Everything that the messengers came with is true. Everything that the messengers came with is true. Five attributes are necessary for all messengers: truthfulness, trustworthiness, conveying the message, intelligence, sinlessness. The opposite of these attributes are impossible for messengers. They are lying, betrayal, not conveying the message, lack of intelligence, and sinning, whether the sins are major or minor. Our messenger Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, Allah bless him and give him peace, is the best and final messenger, and the sacred law he came with will remain until the end of time. So that's the segment that we'll be covering when it comes to the belief in the messengers. And I think I mentioned in the first session, or maybe last week, I can't remember now, that where the essentials are, what are the absolute minimal for one to have soundness in creed? What is the absolute minimal, the threshold one requires to have belief in for one's creed to be sound? In the advanced course, which I haven't delivered here yet, but in the advanced courses where I've taught elsewhere, I use an axiomatization method of theology where I set out the core doctrines in axioms and then look at the entailments or the theorems from those axioms. And you'll see that, you know, when you posit certain foundational creeds, there are others that are entailed by it. And so you have to be committed to them as well, i.e. things that follow from your initial claim or belief. So when we believe that there are five necessary attributes for all messengers: truthfulness, trustworthiness, conveying the message, intelligence, and sinlessness, they entail certain things. Certain things follow. So that's why it's important to know what those entailments are. Of course, this book doesn't cover in detail those entailments because this is not a book on a theology that... This is not a book on systematic theology. It's a book on the absolute essentials that we're required to know, and not more than that. Okay, so let's get to the commentary. So the author of the original text, Imam al-Jundi, mentions وَقَوْلُهُ قَوْلُهُ وَرُسُلِهِ يَعْنِي آمَنْتُ وَصَدَّقْتُ بِرُسُلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. So then we have the belief in the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jal. الَّذِينَ أَوَّلَهُمْ آدَمُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ. The first of whom of these prophets is Adam alayhi salam. وَآخِرُهُمْ مُحَمَّدٌ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And the last prophet that we know is our Nabi Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. وَأَنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ. And all the prophets, الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بَيْنَهُمَا جَمِيعُهُمْ حَقٌ وَصِدْقٌ. All the prophets that came are, you know, true, truthful, and they're real, and they must be affirmed. وَالَّذِينَ ذُكِرَتْ أَسْمَاؤُهُمَ الشَّرِيفَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ 28 نَبِيًّا. And here he mentions that those that are mentioned in the Qur'an, obviously those that are between Adam alayhi salam and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of them between these two prophets are haqq wa sidq. They definitely existed and they are truthful, all of them. وَالَّذِينَ ذُكِرَتْ أَسْمَاءُهُمَ الشَّرِيفَةِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ 28 نَبِيًّا. Those whose blessed names have been mentioned in the Qur'an, the noble names of the Anbiya alayhi salam, as mentioned in the Qur'an, are 28. And then he mentions waqil, and some scholars have said inna ma'rifati asma'ihim wajibatun ala kulli ahad, that one of the opinions is that knowledge of all the names of these prophets, all 28 of them, are obligatory on a Muslim. Yeah. And so what are these names? Adam, or Idris, or Nuh, or Hud, or Salih, or Ishaq, or Ibrahim, or Ismail, or Yaqub, or Yusuf, or Shu'aib, or Lut, or Yahya, or Zakariya, or Musa, or Harun, or Dawood, or Sulaiman, والياس وأيوب واليسع ذو الكفل وعيسى عليه السلام عيسى بن مريم ويونس والعزير واللقمان وذو القرنين وحضرة محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام. And then it ends with our prophet, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم. And then the author mentions وقد اختلف في نبوة العزير واللقمان وذو القرنين and فقال بعض إنهم أنبياء إنهم أنبياء وآخرون بل أولياء. So what you find, I'm just mentioning some of this just to fill you out with something that the author said. So the there are some differences mentioned regarding whether Uzair and Luqman or Dhul Qarnayn were actually, you know, prophets, proper prophets. Some said they weren't, rather they were, you know, the utmost pious individuals, a awliya. They were awliya. So Dhul Qarnayn is equated with, in many commentaries, Iskandar al-Rumi, you know, Alexander the Great. And so there is difference of opinion. This is not our, we're not here to adjudicate between those opinions. So this is a matter of scholarly difference. People have difference of opinion on it. They're going to remain and have difference of opinion on it. We are just obligated to believe that all the prophets between Adam alayhi salam and our prophet is are true, and they were truthful. They're real and they're truthful. Then, as was mentioned in the translation, we have to believe that they have five attributes, and these are necessary for all messengers. So truthfulness, trustworthiness, conveying the message, intelligence, and sinlessness. Sinlessness. And the opposite of these attributes are impossible rationally. So that means that you know, prophets can't be individuals who lie. They can't, this is the opposite of being truthful. They can't be can't have the quality of being the opposite of trustworthiness, which is betrayal. Conveying the message, the opposite of that is not conveying the message. That's not possible. Intelligence, the opposite of that is lack of intelligence. And fifthly, sinlessness, and the opposite of that is to be enact major and minor sins. So what then are these in a little bit more detail? So the author mentions that he says, وَيَجِبُ فِي حَقِّ جَمِيعِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ خَمْسُ صِفَاتٍ الصِّدْقُ وَالْأَمَانَةُ وَالتَّبْلِيغُ وَالْفَطَانَةُ وَالْعِصْمَةُ And he says, فَالصِّدْقُ truthfulness أن نعتقد أن جميع الأنبياء صادقون في كافة أقوالهم. Of course, we have to believe that all prophets are truthful. They have to be truthful. Why? Because it's essential for the message of the prophets and messengers to be credible and trustworthy that they be truthful. If they were not truthful, then people will doubt their message, so call into question their message, and their authority as a messenger will be undermined. And so being truthful is entailed by, being a prophet entails being truthful, because if we're not, then we do not know. We can't trust someone to be conveying something from Allah to the people if they're not trustworthy. There'll be doubt in the person conveying the message to the people. So it's very, very important that that attribute is understood. Al-amana. Anna a'taqida anna jami' al-anbiya umana. We got, you know, we not only do you have to be truthful, so they have to be truthful, and the fact that they are trustworthy in the sense that, you know, we should never be truthful, and then trustworthiness. If they weren't trustworthy, if they weren't truthful, these go hand in hand. We can't imagine someone betraying the trust of individuals if they claim to be a prophet. Cannot have that quality. That's impossible. That would undermine the objective of being a prophet of Allah. Truthfulness, lying, and trustworthiness. Lack of trustworthiness is betrayal. Betraying trust and truthfulness, opposite of that is lying. And then he says, وَالتَّبْلِيغُ أَنَّ أَعْتَقِدَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ بَلَّغُوا أُمَمَهُمْ كُلَّمَا أَمَرَهُمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِتَبْلِيغِهِ مِنَ الْأَوَامِرِ وَالنَّوَاهِي. Now, what the prophets have been tasked to do is to convey message to their people. Tabligh, to convey the message through da'wah to the people. It's impossible to believe that prophets and messengers did not convey everything that was conveyed, that was asked, that was commanded of them by Allah Jalla wa Ala to convey. It's impossible to think that rationally. They couldn't hide stuff. They're hiding stuff, or not telling something in a complete way, partially conveying something, or feeling that one doesn't want to convey it now, but convey it later, or when one conveys something from Allah, but on one's own terms. That's impossible for prophets. Everything that Allah commanded them to convey that's linked to their message and their mission has to be conveyed. This is why, prophets have to say something if it's prohibited. It's impossible that a prophet be told by Allah, tell the people that the following thing is prohibited, and the prophet not tell them it's prohibited. It's impossible that a prophet be commanded to tell the people something's obligatory to do and the prophet doesn't convey it. That's impossible. That's impossible. So they have to do tabligh. They have to convey what is required of them to convey. And all prophets fulfill that to Allah's expectation, Jalla wa Ala, all of them, alayhim salam. So that's the fourth quality. Then wal-fatana, an na'taqid anna jami' al-anbiya ashab al-uqul kamila. We also believe that all the prophets are not simple in the kind of demeaning way. They're not simpletons. Can you see? They have the highest intellect, and they are the most piercing in terms of the intellect. They are the most intelligent. They're the most intellectual. They are the most wise. They are the best and most eloquent in debate and argumentation. And so in order to construct proofs, arguments, you need a certain disposition of the intellect. You need a certain level, degree, and maturity of the intellect. And the prophets, alayhi salam, they had the utmost, they had the perfect level of knowledge. And so when you're giving the rational proofs for the existence of Allah, why man must worship Allah Azza wa Jal and not worship idols or worship their own selves or worship anything that's created, these require hujjah, these require proof. These require proof. And so it's necessary then that prophets have the capacity to be able to engage in dialectics, Then it says, the author mentions, wal-ismatu, and then impeccability, or being free from sin, protected from sin. That the belief is that all prophets, after their prophet, after being granted the nubuwa, the prophethood, are free from sin, whether that's considered to be major or minor, for those who accept that distinction. لكن قد وقع من بعضهم زلات كأكل آدم عليه السلام من شجرة من شجرة. So some of the prophets, however, fell into some kind of slips, some mistakes, like Adam عليه السلام eating from the tree that he عليه السلام was commanded not to approach. But so that was a mistake. It wasn't a sin, it was a mistake. That was a slip up. That was a zalla. And then he says, والصفات المستحيلة على الأنبياء عليهم السلام ضد هذه الصفات الواجبة لهم وهي الكذب والكذب lying, الخيانة betrayal, كتمان hiding knowledge, not conveying what they're supposed to convey, kind of lack of intelligence, and ityan al ma'asi, and sinning, kaba'ir wa saghair. So it's impossible that the Anbiya alayhi wasalam have these attributes. And then I want to mention a few points here from the commentary. Some mention that the جميع ما ورد على الأنبياء مما ظاهره التنقيص فهو كمال. Actually, anything that we might perceive of prophets that may seem like deficiencies, they're actually perfections. فهو كمال في مراتبهم. That's actually an indication of the perfection of their rank. وشرف في مقامتهم عليهم السلام. And the fact that they have such an exalted and noble status, or rank, or place. But it's just knowing their true pedigree, knowing their true rank, is just sort of, it's hidden from us. We're not able to comprehend, and perceive the true rank of these prophets. We فتوهمناه نقصا وليس بنقص. We might think these are failings of prophets, their mistakes are somehow failings, but really they're not. So these are actually ways which Allah shows the perfection of his prophets. These are part of the way Allah, in his mysterious custom and manner, Jalla wa Ala, shows how through certain tests, putting prophets under tests and stress and tests, under balat, trials, and ibtila, difficulty, he makes manifest really their greatness. Their greatness. And this concept isn't difficult to understand, even in like sports, when we see the greatness of a team, even in like we see how great a team could be, even in their, we can see how great a personality can be, even in his loss. because the loss was a means to manifest the greatness of that sports personality or that sports team or whatever it might be. We might think, oh, look, the team has lost, or look, they weren't a very good team in this instance. But really behind it was some exemplification or some other quality that we wouldn't have perhaps otherwise seen through winning. So it's possible for the mind to conceive of what we take to be nuks, deficiencies or failings. They aren't really failings. And then, you know, certain quality, additional qualities of these prophets become impossible. Obviously, we cannot have heedlessness from prophets, alayhi wasalam. You know, we can't have them making error all the time, or forgetfulness, or prone to getting things muddled and mixed up. These are all, anything that impacts on a prophet's ability to convey the message impeccably without any mistakes in the way that it has to be delivered, this will be eliminated. And having muddled thoughts, heedlessness, being prone to error, these are not qualities that a prophet can have. Of course, it goes without saying that prophets must have the quality of being pious, devoted to Allah. They must have exemplary lives, you know, righteous lives and holy life. They must have knowledge. They can't be ignorant and convey the message. They must have understanding of Allah's will and comprehensive knowledge of the teachings that they convey. Obviously, we mentioned truthfulness, sincerity. Prophets have miracles. They have miracles. And they are performed in order to demonstrate to the people that what they are conveying on behalf of Allah is true. They are truly a representative of Allah. Allah is a emissary. So they give proofs to prove that. And they are considered to be an authority because Anbiya are Allah's representatives. And so their teachings and instructions are considered to be divinely inspired and so authoritative. Now, there's some points here about our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the author says in the Arabic, وَنَبِيُّنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَزِيدُ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ بِثَلَاثَ صِفَاتٍ أَحَدُهَا كَوْنُهُ أَفْضَلَ جَمِيعِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. So our Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam exceeds all other prophets, alayhi wasalam. He exceeds all other prophets, at least in three respects. At least in three respects. One, ahaduha, kawnuhu afdala jami'i anbiya. The first is our prophet is the most superior prophet over all other prophets. ثانيها كونه أرسل إلى كافة الخلق الإنس والجن. The second sifa or quality or property that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has is that he was sent to all of creation, الإنس والجن. So all sentient creatures that have free will. And what's mentioned here are human beings and jinn. ثالثها كونه خاتم النب فلا نبي بعده إلى يوم القيامة. And then, of course, thirdly, that he's the last prophet, and there can be no prophet. There is no prophet after him. There can be no prophet is a modal claim. So I don't want to go into that discussion. Whether it's impossible. That was a whole subcontinent discussion. Yeah, about imkanun nadir about whether a duplicate of our Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can be created. So I was going to mention something about angels. Anyway, when I remember it, I'll mention it. So those are the three ways in which our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has been distinguished. He's been distinguished by being the best of all messengers, the one who was sent to all of creation, and then thirdly, the one whom there will be no successor, and that successor is a prophet. So anyone who claims to be a prophet, you know, in Islam, that is kufr. Anyone claims that they have access to Nubuwa in some way, anyone who claims to have, whether secretly or openly, some kind of access to the door of Nubuwa, that's kufr. That is absolute kufr. And any kind of implication of that as well is considered to be kufr. So this is a very, very serious matter. There can be no prophet in any sense after our prophet. Anyone who claims to have revelation from Allah, anyone who claims to have communication from Allah, is in effect claiming to be a prophet. Claiming to be a prophet. A few more points I mentioned, and then I will open it up for any questions. There was something I wanted to mention from the commentary, and I don't know where it was now. So our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is distinguished not only by these three qualities, but you know, he's distinguished he's distinguished in countless ways. His excellence, superiority, you know, his virtue is just innumerable, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. But the author here just mentions three ways by which, you know, our Prophet was, three broad ways, and lots of other ways can fall under these broad ways, is that he is the best of them. He's the best of them. He is the universal Prophet, and he is the final Prophet. Those three are the three sort of things that make him great. These three distinguishing great making properties of the Prophet. when I find the other point, I will mention it to you. Let me see what else. All right, let me just pause there to see if there is any points, any questions anyone might have on what we've covered so far. And then we can move on to just some last points I want to mention about Dalail al-Nubuwa. Let me just see if there's any questions in the chat box. Okay. It says here, that the definition of a prophet and a messenger, sallallahu alayhi Salamu alayhi wa salam. So he says here, وَبِالْفَرْقِ بَيْنَهُمَا, the difference between a prophet and a messenger is, النَّبِيُّ إِنسَانٌ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْهِ بِشَرَعٍ, that a Nabi, a prophet, is someone whom has been divinely inspired by Allah and been given a law a Sharia, yeah, a revealed law. فَإِنْ أَمَرَهُ بِتَبْلِيغِهِ. And of course, you know, even and they're being ordered to convey this message. فَرَسُولٌ وَإِلَّا فَنَبِيٌّ اجْتَمَعَ فِي مَادَّةٍ وَافْتَرَقَ أَحَدُهُمَا فِي مَادَّةٍ أُخْرَى فَكُلُّ رَسُولٍ نَبِيٌّ وَلَا كُلُّ نَبِيٍّ رَسُولٌ. But a messenger is not someone who has been given that revealed law, but they have been tasked to still convey the message that's been revealed to them. And so this is why every messenger is a prophet, but not every prophet is a messenger. Says here, there's some points that I wanted to mention before we go into some of the points about Dalail and Nubuwwah. Is that in the commentary? Oops, missed a page there. So others say, for example, that a messenger is a prophet, is someone who's been given a law, revealed, he's been given a law, has revealed law, sorry, and is commanded to convey it, whilst a prophet is one to whom a law is revealed, but he's not commanded to convey it. But that as well is considered to be a very problematic distinction. Because a prophet, just like messengers, is also commanded to convey to the people as well. So both prophets and messengers. Some people say a prophet is a messenger, a rasul, is one who's sent to a disbelieving people. So their qawm is non-believing. Whereas a nabi, a prophet, is sent to a believing people with the sharia that has already come before that prophet. So that prophet brings a sharia that is existing sharia to a people who are already believing. So you get these kind of different opinions. And so you get these kind of differences of understanding. But I just thought I'd mention that to you in case some of you perhaps may have heard of different definition and maybe heard others. But it's not important. It's not important. Okay. So we've read now, we've gone through the basics of what it entails, what belief in messengers entails. It entails that we believe that all of them from Adam alayhi salam to our prophet, everyone in between who has been mentioned and not mentioned, we must believe they're real and believe that all of them are truthful without fail, and that there are specific qualities that a prophet must have. They must be truthful. They must be trustworthy. They must convey the message that was given to them. They must have the great intelligence, and they must be sinless, or they must be impeccable. And then that means the opposite of these attributes are impossible for them. And that includes lying, betrayal, not conveying the message, i.e. hiding things, lack of intelligence, and sinning. And then our prophet, we mentioned, was the final prophet who was distinguished at least between three broad distinguishing qualities. And that is that fact he was the greatest prophet in rank, virtue, greatness, esteem, honor, and that he was for all sentient creatures that have free will, so humans and jinn. In fact, all creation, some people say, including angels, out of respect. And then the third quality, of course, is that he our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was that he's a final messenger, and there can be no prophet or messenger after him. So that, in a snapshot, is sort of the core doctrine about what for our creed to be sound, it must include. So anyone who comes and breaches any one of these, then there's some problematic about that creed. Okay, the other point I wanted to mention was dala'il al-nubuwa, you know, proofs of prophethood. Like how, you know, what are the proofs that our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was the true messenger of Allah? And here, you know, this is the genre known as dala'il al-nubuwa, or proofs for prophethood, where ulama gave arguments for why our Prophet was a true prophet. And these included arguments like the argument from future prophecy and foretelling. This means that our messenger was already foretold in previous scriptures. So he was mentioned in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So some people say that the proof of his prophethood is in him being mentioned in the previous scriptures. And the reason why that's denied is because of people's obstinacy or rejection of the truth, or the fact that they want to cover up the truth that our Prophet was mentioned in all the prior scriptures. So the Prophet's foretelling and prophecies about our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. The other one is the numerous miracles attributed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the countless miracles, and these are attributed to him via reports that are established to be sound. They're established to be soundly going back to the Prophet. So there's testimony going back to the Messenger of Allah, you know, about his miracles, and he had innumerable miracles. Of course, there is the proof of the Quran, but we want to talk about dala'il al-nubuwa other than the Quran being, you know, evidence for the Prophet's truth of his messengership. Other arguments include the Prophet's impeccable character. The Prophet had the greatest morals. And so someone with that kind of impeccable character, that is proof that he must be someone who's special. And, you know, he didn't have ordinary characteristics. He had extraordinary characteristics. He had morals to such a degree that it's just not, we don't get that from ordinary human beings. The fact that the Prophet showed exemplary, you know, there are lots of other arguments you can give. The fact that the Prophet, the message that he brought and how comprehensive the message is, you know, where are there other messages that are so comprehensive like the one that he brought? And so that must be proof of the fact that he's someone who has conveyed the truth from a divine source. Or the fact that his message was so impactive. It not only changed lives and changed the geographical reorganization of the world, but it's a message that built civilizations. That could be another of his sort of proof of his prophethood. So there are many, many, many arguments that people bring to show that the prophethood, the proofs of our prophet, the proofs of the prophethood of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is true. What other arguments can you give? Well, as I mentioned, the Prophet's character, his mercy, his bravery, his clemency, his beautiful generosity, his sabr, his perseverance, his honesty, his integrity. Another argument is the Prophet's accomplishments. the fact that he didn't want any, he wasn't ambitious, he didn't want any, he wasn't looking for worldly fame, he wasn't looking for tall buildings, he wasn't looking for a material legacy in that sense. He was, he wasn't looking for material success, like as in like wealth, amassing wealth, i.e. a fortune. His legacy was revolutionizing the way society was organized and governed. He was restoring Tawheed again. He was molding a generation who were then going to influence the next generation and so on and so on. His greatness was in these things. His greatness was in these things, not in this kind of legacy of the Romans and the Persians. Like, how large were the thrones? How elegant were the buildings? So his character and his accomplishments are the two additional sort of evidences or proofs for the fact that he was a prophet, and that no man has had that kind of effect on humanity. So these are like some of the dalail al-nubuwwah. We can, arguments that you find in the books of dalail al-nubuwwah. What we can do, I can send some I can send some material for students to read on that, so we don't go rehearse through it now, and then we can maybe pick it up in the next lesson. I'll see if I want to do a second session on sort of maybe look at i'jaz of the Quran or something like that. I will see, or what I might do, I might complete the book and then do a session on i'jaz, just so we know that we believe that the Quran is a miracle of Allah. I know we mentioned that regarding the books last week, but it might be good to understand how. So I'll let you know about that. There's not really much I want to add on this sort of basic session on prophets. I'll stop here and I'll hand it back to see if there's any questions or thoughts of everyone on this session today, any points of reflection. And then we'll next week we'll look at afterlife, beliefs in the afterlife, which is a very, very, very important topic. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. So that was a summary. That was in summary, sort of what belief in messengers and prophets entails. And next week, what we'll be looking at then is belief in the hereafter. What is the Yawm al-Akhir? What is the Ba'ath, the resurrection? And so that will be an interesting one to go through, inshallah. Okay, I think if there's no questions regarding this section, we can end it there. For those of you who joined just a little bit later from when I gave my introduction, I've put in the chat the handouts from the last two sessions. I'll also just put this in as well. Let me just stop sharing. And I'll just give the handout for today's lesson. It's a very short one. It doesn't contain everything that we covered today. It's just some points. It's just some points related to prophets. So let me just share that in. And then you can have a read. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. The two I've already sent, admin can share that, I think, with everyone. Right, so it should now be in the chat box. Session 3, Prophets and Messengers. And we'll go over it. Sorry if it was a bit Arabic heavy. I didn't mean it to be Arabic heavy for those. I didn't want anyone to feel daunted by the Arabic text, the original text that the book Absolute Essentials of Islam is abridged from. But sometimes I think it's good to know what the original author had mentioned, and then fill it out a bit, so we get some sort of wider content to what we're studying. So next week, belief in the hereafter, things like resurrection, and we'll a bodily resurrection, and we'll cover that. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Well, I appreciate you giving your time and joining us for this third session. Okay, I put it in. For the first, okay, what I'll do, I'll resend the first two. For those of you, like I said, you came in after I had posted the two files. So here they are. You've now should have 1 and 2 and 3, everyone. I'll post 1 and 2 again for everyone, sorry. I think I might post 1 and 2. So there you go. 1 and 2 are posted again for everyone. Barakallahu feekum wa narakum ala khair. Oh, this... I can't seem to upload it again, I don't think. Anyway, maybe it can, maybe it's not. I'm not sure. Anyway, just let me know if it's been sent. If it hasn't, I can always send it to admin. Okay, jazakumullahu khairan and narakum ala khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.